Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Welcome to the Road of Correction program with your host, Ricardo Bezalel. And that song which has just finished playing there is from the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, being sung for us by the Sounds of Ruth and Boaz. It's called Finally, Brethren, Pray for Us. Our discussion today comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians, beginning to read from verse 3. And as the song by the Sounds of Ruth and Boaz there is just sang for us, it says that, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Right. So now this is an instruction to the church at Thessalonica. Apostle Paul is writing to them and saying, finally, brethren, pray for us. But today we want to move away from the original recipient of the letter. which was the Church of Thessalonica, because the book of Romans chapter 15, it tells us that the scriptures were written for our learning. That's verse 4 of Romans 15. The scriptures were written for our learning, that through instruction and comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope. Now, if we then look at the scriptures and just say, oh, he wrote that to the Church of Thessalonica, and that was to them in their time, this has got nothing to do with us now. No, it was written for our learning. So what do we learn from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? It says that, finally, brethren, pray for us that we, the word of the Lord, may have free course and be glorified as it is in you. Now, before we start thinking of praying for somebody else, the rule of life is that you cannot give away what you don't have. So if you don't pray for yourself, how is it possible that you can pray for other people? And if you don't think that it is important to pray for you, then you are mistaken, because your body is not you. Your body is the house in which you live. And in that house where you live, you are the resident, you are the steward, you are the manager, you are the bishop, you are the deacon, you are the pastor of your own body, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, to the tips of your fingers. You are the prime minister, you are the king, you are the queen, you are whatever you call yourself. You are in charge, you are the president of you are the prime minister of your body. Who are you in terms of, who are you, but how are you doing in terms of managing the affairs of your own life? How are you doing? Before you pray for somebody else, what about you? Before you preach to other people, what about you? Before you say, oh, I wonder if so-and-so knows this about Jesus, or knows this about the scriptures, or knows this about what's being preached today, the question is, what about you? Remember, in Matthew 16, the Lord said, who do the people say that I am? Yeah, so we can then come to this scripture and say, who within yourself do you say that you are, that you want to pray for other people but you don't pray for yourself? You want to think of other people but you don't want to think of yourself. You want to make sure that other people have heard the gospel, but you don't hear the gospel yourself. You see, that is a major problem, which is prevalent in many people who have got the Bible as their source of faith. Now, there is a story often told that there was a temporary job at a construction site, and people, you know, from the local community, they wanted, those who are not employed, they wanted to get these temporary jobs. So they would gather in the morning by the gate of this construction site so that they would be hired that day. And so the manager who was in charge of recruiting laborers for that day, he came to the gate with a piece of paper and a pen, and he looked at the people and said, right, today we are going to recruit 5 people. And there were more than 5 people stood there. And there was a guy stood next to this manager guy who came to the gate. And he said, right, you look strong enough. Well, yeah, right. You, here's a pen and paper. Write the names of 5 people who can then come and work today as temporary workers. And this guy goes about, so what's your name? He writes their name down. What's your name? He writes their name down. And he put 5 names down on that piece of paper and gave those names to the manager. And the manager was now, the site manager was now reading the names out. So-and-so, 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 so-and-so. And the 5 people came forward and they were hired for the day. And this guy was stood there by the gate and he forgot to put his name down. And he didn't get a job. He was like, what about me? He said, well, I gave you the permission to write the names on that piece of paper. Why did you not write your name first? And sure enough, that day he went home without a job, which means he had no money. Now, the same can apply spiritually. If you always think of other people and you don't think that this thing which you want to say, other people must hear this message, must hear this scripture, it actually applies to you first. You are the first recipient. You should be the first believer of that which you want to preach to other people. So if there are people who are reverends and bishops, whatever they call themselves, those fancy names which are not in the scriptures anywhere, and they want to preach. Okay, pastors are in the scriptures, wherever you are, and you are preaching out there, and if you don't think of yourself first, then you are in danger of losing your way. You are in danger of being an heretic. You are in danger of not knowing that you have lost it. You are in danger of assuming that you are okay when you are not okay. So he says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Finally, brethren, pray for you. Pray for yourself. Before you pray for your parents, before you pray for your siblings, before you pray for anybody else, pray for you. Because the scripture says that in the Psalm 119, verse 105, you say that thy word, oh God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So this word cannot be a lamp unto your feet if you don't have it within you. Do you know a lamp is a structure, a manufactured structure which contains oil, and on inside that there is a wick which is like a cotton thread which dips into the oil or into the fuel, and then it comes up at the top and they light the wick. And so the burning of the lamp is dependent on the oil which is on the inside, which is then going up, being sucked up by the heat which is burning at the top. And as the heat is burning, that heat is producing light. But do you know that it's possible to have a lamp in your house which is not lit? Like during the day, for example, you don't need the light. So you got the lamp is there, but it's not lit because you don't need it. There is the sunshine is there, so you don't need the lamp. But when the darkness comes, that's when you need the lamp. Can you imagine now when the darkness comes and then you don't light the lamp, but you've got it in your house? How are you going to have light to see where you are going? That's exactly the picture which you should have about your own life and the meaning of scriptures within yourself, right? Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your feet are the ones which are in contact with the earth. And the earth has got its own issues which it transfers unto you. Because the earth is under the sway of the devil, because he is the prince of the power of the air. He is the prince of this world. The devil is the ruler of this world, and the people of this world are under the sway of the devil. And everybody, just like it happened in Genesis chapter 2, that Adam was told, don't eat of this tree, because in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And Adam did eat, and what happened to him? He died. And when he died, he then was chased out of the garden, which means he died spiritually, but remained physically alive, which is why God was able to still give him leather clothing and evict him from the garden, because he was still physically alive, yet spiritually he was now separated from God. So Adam then started having children outside the garden whilst he was spiritually dead. And that is the state of humanity, my friend. Every human being is born dead in the death of Adam, and it is until that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who came and said, I am the light of the world, that light of the world, unless it starts functioning within you, then you remain dead in the death of Adam. And that light which Jesus said, I am the light of the world, being the light of the world, it means that there is need of a structure within you in which that light can then be lit. And the mechanism of the oil and the wick and the flame is what is going to give light. So, how are you doing, my friend, in terms of you being having that mechanism within yourself? What are the meditations of your heart as far as the scriptures are concerned? Do you know who Jesus is? And do you know how to worship him correctly? That is because there are so many Jesuses out there, and some of those Jesuses are actually false Christs, as the scripture says in 2 John. So there is false Christ out there, and the secret in your survival, in your walk of faith, is that you should have a mechanism of of being able to tell what is a lie and what is a truth. What is the truth and what is the lie? What is heretic and what is not heretic? Do you have a system? Do you have a system of being able to tell? That's why this scripture says, finally, brethren, pray for us. But I'm saying today, finally, brethren, pray for yourself that you may have these mechanisms to know what is fake, what is a false gospel, and what is a true gospel. Some people say, you know what? Everybody is doing their own thing. Leave them to it. All roads lead to heaven. If they want to worship through this other God or through this other God, or they want to worship in this way or in that way, leave them to it, because you should not judge. You should not judge. After all, the scripture says that he who is without sin may cast the first stone. So nobody did cast the first stone because everybody was a sinner. So it is still true today that nobody should tell anybody that they are wrong, because then that's judging. That's judging. You're casting the first stone. You shouldn't judge. My friend, it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that, my friend. Get it? That it does not work like that. Because the scripture says that every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. Huh? So you can see clearly that the scripture is clearly telling us that there are two types of spirits. One which says that Jesus has come in the flesh, and that spirit is of God. And the one says he is not come in the flesh, and that spirit is of the Antichrist. So where do you belong, and how do you know, or do you know the meaning of what it is that Jesus has come in the flesh, or the meaning of when someone says he's not come in the flesh and is called an Antichrist? What is the implications of that statement? So if you are saying that you should not judge, then how do you handle this scripture then? So we see this in the book of 1 John chapter 4. It talks about from verse 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, which is why you need to pray for yourself, my friend. Finally, brethren, pray for you. Pray for yourself. How? Why should you pray for yourself? Because you need this wisdom. Yeah, it says that, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. So you cannot tell me that I'm judging when I'm trying the spirits. It's not judging. It's trying the spirits. Try the spirits. It says that, beloved, not every spirit, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Yeah, but you know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereby you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. This is exactly why you need to pray for yourself, because the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. How do you know the difference between the spirit of Christ, the truth, and the spirit of Christ, which is the spirit of the Antichrist? How do you know? If you don't even take time to pray for yourself, you don't take time to even consider where you stand, you don't take stock of anything, how are you going to survive your walk of faith? How are you going to survive your pilgrimage here on the earth? How is it possible? My friends, finally, brethren, pray for yourself that the word of God may have free course. Yeah? And that you be delivered. Pray for yourself, my friend. Pray for you. Pray for you. Stop praying for other people until you have prayed for yourself. Because if you don't pray for yourself, you are in danger of getting lost. Why? Because the scripture is clear. The scripture is clear. 1 John chapter 4 and on verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Wherefore you have heard that that it should come, and even now is already in this world. Today it is here, the spirit of the Antichrist. Do you know the spirit of the Antichrist? You won't do it, my friend. You won't have that wisdom until you have got the knowledge of the true gospel of Christ, and you pray for yourself often in order for you to continue in that walk, in that narrow path of faith. And we're going to go to another song. And again, it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is called Let No Man Deceive You.
Hallelujah! Second Thessalonians chapter 2.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Yes, our continuing discussion is coming from the book of the Second Thessalonians chapter 3, which talks about, finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us, he says, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is in you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And we are saying that it is so very important that before you pray for anybody else whom you may think you want to pray for, you also pray for yourself first before you can pray for other people, because you cannot give away what you do not have. So that scripture can be rendered to say, finally, brethren, pray for you. That's not what it says, but you should take it to mean also, and from another perspective and another dimension, to say that it is important that you pray for you. You pray for yourself. And we say the primary reason why you should pray for yourself or take stock of your prayer life is because primarily salvation is a knowledge-based economy. Because in the book of John chapter 17 on verse 3, the Lord Jesus himself, when he was praying for his disciples, for us, his believers, the believer's prayer, which was John 17, was the Lord's prayer. The Lord's prayer is in John 17, not the one in Matthew chapter 6. No. That is not the Lord's prayer. The real Lord's prayer is the one which is in John chapter 17. And when he was praying there, he prayed and said that Now this is eternal life. Now that they may know that which is Kilo November Oscar whiskey. No, that they may know, or they may have knowledge, or they may be informed, or they may be educated, or they may comprehend. Yeah, they have that knowledge which brings comprehension and apprehension of things and precepts and concepts and doctrines, and that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the knowledge of God is the most important thing, because even the Lord God Jesus himself prayed that you as a believer, you may know, you may have that knowledge. Now, how are you going to have that knowledge if you don't even take stock of how you pray, how you live your life, how you lead your life, and what is going on within your life and within your belief system? What is it, just what is it that you believe? And if you don't believe correctly, then chances are that you're going to get lost. And when you get lost, who is going to rescue you if you don't have the correct knowledge? Especially so if you think you have got the correct knowledge, whilst at the same time, in reality, you actually have the wrong type of knowledge. For we read from the scriptures which says that there are so many false Christs which have gone into the world. The spirit of the Antichrist is already operating in the world. How can you tell the difference between the spirit of the Antichrist and the spirit of the true Christ? How do you tell? And we said earlier that when you try to tell the spirit of the Antichrist from the spirit of Christ, you are attacked. They say to you that no, you are judging other people. The scripture says you can't throw the first stone. He who is without sin, let him throw the first stone. But look, that same scripture which you are saying, that the scripture says, judge not and you shall not be judged. The same scripture says, discern the spirits. Yeah, be aware that there are different types of spirits out there. And if you're not aware of that, and if you're ignorant of that, it is not the problem of the scriptures themselves, because the scriptures have warned you that there are different types of Jesuses. There are different types of scriptures out there, of gospels out there. And some of those gospels, the majority of those gospels, are actually false gospels. So how can you tell the difference between one and the other? The number one thing to do, take stock of your prayer life. Pray for you. Ask the Lord to reveal to you if indeed you are worshipping him correctly, and you are worshipping him with the informed knowledge of who he is and what he has already done for you, so that you don't undo those things which he has already done. And we read from the book of 1 John chapter 4, where it says, believe not every spirit, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And we say trying the spirits is not actually judging, it's actually keeping your salvation secure and keeping your salvation safe. Because if you don't keep your salvation safe, how are you going to survive this narrow path? For the path that wide is the road that leads to destruction. Yeah, where they say every road leads to God, every God leads to heaven, right? That's a very wide road, and it leads to destruction. But narrow is the way, narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and that eternal life is in his Son. And this Son, Jesus Christ, is the only one who has got this eternal life. And this Jesus is the one who was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to Romans chapter 1 verse 4. So, because many false prophets are gone into the world, whereby you know the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, what is it to mean that the spirit which confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh? What it means is that when he came in the flesh, what did he come to do? John chapter 2 tells us what that when Jesus was walking by, John saw him and said, John chapter 1, 29, he says, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus came to be the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And what is the sin of the world? The sin of the world is the death which Adam gave to all humanity. And when God was waiting for the time of to be fulfilled for the Messiah, for the Messiah to come, Jesus, Yehoshua, Jesus the Messiah, when the time of him to come was not yet come, God gave them a stopgap measure where they were going to use the law of Moses so that they can learn as instructions. The law of Moses was instructions to the Hebrew people so that they know what God wants and what God does not like, so that when they worship him, they can worship him on a path which is lit by the law itself, because the law was a form of light, though that light did not have eternal life in it, but it was a form of light which gave instruction on how to worship God correctly and dissociate themselves from pagan gods and from idols and from demonic gods and from the occult and things like that, the gods which are not gods for real, but the gods of this world. And the law of Moses gave them those instructions. So when the true Lamb of God came and was crucified himself on the cross, because everybody who crucified him, they were mandated to do so. Their own an assignment which Jesus himself had given them to do it for him. So when Jesus crucified himself on that cross, when he did that, he was ending that stopgap measure which was the law of Moses. Because when the law of Moses has stopped, because its term had come to pass, its term had been fulfilled, because the true animal, which did not have the death of Adam in it, and it now been sacrificed, instead of sacrificing goats and bulls and sheep and chickens and things like that, the true sacrifice, the Lamb of God, had come, and which is Jesus, the Messiah, who did not have the death of Adam flowing in his veins. And because of him, he could now be sacrificed on that cross and bring an end to all and every sacrifice which every human being has ever given. So by doing that, he put a stop to the temple order, the Levitical priesthood order. And the temple in Jerusalem was stopped because of what Jesus did, because that's why the temple curtain, which separated the Holy of Holies from the most holy place and from the outer court and things like that, was torn from top to bottom to make that temple a common place. And that is how Jesus ended the law of Moses and began the law of the New Testament church, in which he is the king. And because he is the king of the New Testament church, you can no longer then go to the Old Testament and try to worship God using the Old Testament concepts of sacrifice and convocations and ceremonies and the keeping the Sabbath and the tithe and things like that. If you are doing that, you are actually saying that Jesus did not come in the flesh, because by agreeing that Jesus came in the flesh, you are acknowledging that when he was in the flesh, he was the Lamb of God, which was to take away the sin of the world on that cross, by being crucified on that cross. And when he did, he put all sacrifices aside, they put a stop to them, because the real sacrifice had now come yet for by stopping the old fake laws of Moses, which only dealt with the flesh and had nothing to do with the spirit man on the inside. So that is how you acknowledge that the spirit, that Jesus has come in the flesh, when you believe that Jesus ended the law of Moses at Calvary and began a New Testament law when he rose again from the dead. That is what it means, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God, right? So if your church is one of those churches where you pay the tithe, you are literally saying Jesus did not come in the flesh. This is why you should pray for yourself, my friend, so that you will not be hoodwinked by people who are after other agendas apart from you going into eternal life in heaven. They don't care whether you go to heaven or you end up in hell. All they want is your money. And because they don't care about that, they will not ask you to pray for you in order to discern if what they are teaching you is correct and is true according to the scriptures. They will never do that. They will never do that. So I'm saying to you, my friend, it is time you pray for you, because do you know that every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist? Well, you were told that the Antichrist is going to come through money, through the banking system, through the environment, through the political systems of this world, through the government systems of this world. But no, those are secondary things, my friend, because political systems and government systems and banking systems of this world, they are made up of people. And those individual people who make those systems, they start off here at 1 John chapter 4 on verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. This is where they start. Before they start building governments which are against the scriptures, they start at 1 John chapter 4 verse 3 by denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and by denying that and saying that he was never crucified, and by saying that the law of Moses was never ended, or by saying that this Jesus is a gate crusher into the evolution of human beings. He had nothing to do with it, and therefore we don't want to know about him. And by saying those kind of things, they have associated themselves with the Antichrist, and that is the spirit of the Antichrist. My question to you, my friend, do you know for sure whether you belong to the Church of God or whether you belong to the Church of the Antichrist? The test is simple. What do you do with the law of Moses? How do you handle the law of Moses? Has the law of Moses ended? Was it ended on the cross? And are we now operating under the New Testament law, which is free from the temple order, from the convocations order, from the festivals order, from the tithing order, from the first fruit order, and all those kind of things which they used to do in the Old Testament? We no longer follow those things. Yeah. The principles which were intended by those things, those principles never change. Yeah, but the laws change. In the Old Testament, God said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But in the New Testament, the same God says, love one another as I have loved you. You see now. So he now becomes the standard. And because he's become the standard, he's now the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who was given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, including the knee of Moses, should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and is God and is the King of the New Testament Church. If you don't believe that, my friend, you are in danger of staying in the Church of the Antichrist. And because you're staying in the Church of the Antichrist, chances are, if you die the death, the biological death, whilst you are still in that Church of the Antichrist, then your future is doomed. You are facing the second death, which is being thrown into the lake of fire. So we know that the scriptures are clear. So when you are praying for yourself that the word of the Lord may have free course, yeah, you love the Lord. We don't doubt that you love the Lord. You are so sincere. You love him. You love him. But you know what? You are so sincerely lost, because in your being lost and in your ignorance, you are mixing the New Testament church with the Old Testament church. But look, put away the son of the bondwoman. For the son of the bondwoman shall not have an inheritance with the son of the free woman. We are sons of the free woman, which is the New Testament church, and not the bondwoman, which is the Old Testament church. No, we belong to Isaac. We don't belong to Ishmael. We belong to Isaac. We belong to Jesus, and we don't belong to Moses. So, my friend, whilst you are sincere, be careful, my friend. Is the word of God having free course in you, or are you hindering it? He says that pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Is it having free course? No, it's not. It's being hindered by you following the Old Testament convocations, Old Testament concepts of the temple order. And because you are following that, you are hindering the word of God. You are hindering. The word of God is not having free course in you. Is not having free course. And be glorified. We can't even talk of the word being glorified if it's not having free course in you. So, my friend, you need to pray for yourself, my darling. You need to pray for yourself, my love. Because if you don't do this, you are going to remain ignorant that you are lost. And the day is going to come and surprise you. But you should not be surprised, because the word of God is clear. You've been warned. Take care, my friend. Pray for you. Finally, brethren, pray for yourself that the word of God may have free course in your life. What are those things which are hindering the word of God within you? What are they? And how are you going to deal with it? What are you going to do with those things which are hindering the growth of the word within you, or the manifestation of the true gospel within yourself? It's time to pray for you, my friend. It's time to pray. And we go to yet another song, and again this time it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz, and this time singing for us 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's called Grace and Peace Be Unto You.
Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians. In God our Father.
And the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace.
It is meet, because that your faith grows with exceeding. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that ye endure. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer.
Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer.
Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony was in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the
Yes, we are continuing in our discussion, and our primary scripture today is coming from the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where we are focusing on the instruction which the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of the Thessalonians there, where he was saying that, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Right, so we are saying that the instruction is clear. We need to pray for our church leaders. We need to pray for those who are above us. We need to pray for those who lead in the community. We need to pray for governments. We need to pray for everybody else in our households, in our families, in our communities. But before we do that, we need to remember that it is vital, it is essential that you pray for you. So we are changing slightly this meaning of this scripture to look at it from another perspective and say, finally, brethren, pray for yourself. Before you pray for others, pray for you, and take stock of what is it, just what is it that you believe And how you do you believe? And that which you are believing, is it actually the truth or is it a lie? We read from the scriptures and we saw from the book of 1 John chapter 4 that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world and is already operating in the world. The Bible is clear about that. And we said, trying to discern if a spirit what he is calling spirit there is a doctrine, actually. You don't go about hunting like you are hunting for a ghost, like some, you know, I've seen programs on TV where they talk about the haunted houses and hunting for ghosts and things like that. This is not what the scripture is talking about. It says, don't believe every spirit, discern. He says, discern. So, how do you discern? You discern by listening to what being taught. You check the narrative of the doctrine, which they are. It says, believe not every spirit. Yeah, believe not hereby. Beloved, believe not every spirit, right? Believe not. Which means all the information will come to you, all of it. Correct information, wrong information, true information, false information, heretic information, correct information. All these kind of things will come to you, but it's going to be up to you what you do with the information. Which is why it says, believe not every spirit, because all those spirits will come your way, and it is up to you how you respond to them. But how you respond to them is according to knowledge. And when you are exercising your knowledge of the scriptures to try and discern the difference between the spirit which is of Christ and the spirit which is of the Antichrist, and when you are doing that, you are not judging. So don't let people say that the scripture says, judge not. You cannot say that if a bishop is leading a church, he is lost. Because now we are judging. No, I'm not judging. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11, the list is there. Yeah, apostles, which are also prophets, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Yeah, those four. Those are the four offices. There is no mention of a bishop or a reverend in the narrative of Ephesians 4, verse 11. Those titles are not for people to lead churches and be above pastors and be above evangelists and teachers. A bishop presiding over a pastor's, that is so wrong. It's like a groundsman at a school ruling over the headmaster in and the teachers of the school. Yeah, the mathematics teacher reports to the groundsman at school. No, the mathematics teacher or the science teacher reports to the accounts clerk at the university. How is that possible? That is what you get when you've got a bishop as a leader of a church. It is not correct. It is wrong. You know, they may give themselves fancy titles, archbishop, right reverend, what? It is not true. There is no a bishop who should be leading a church. It's not scriptural. It is of the Antichrist, because the scriptures are clear. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And if they say that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh, part of the things they do is that they disregard the things which Jesus instituted as part of their structure of his New Testament church. They disregard that. Yeah, they may not take your tithe from you, but they call themselves a bishop. They call themselves your spiritual father. Yeah, they are disregarding the principles of the New Testament church, in which Jesus is the only true king, the ruler, the sovereign over the New Testament church. There is no other father except the Father which is in heaven. Yeah, Matthew 23 tells us that. And Jesus is our only father. He has begotten us, yeah, through his resurrection from the dead. So just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even you too, you should also walk in newness of life. So how is it newness of life when another man who was at one time in diapers, not even able to change his diapers when he sold himself, now he calls himself your spiritual father, and you say, yes, my spiritual father. How can you be so deluded? You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for yourself, my friend. Otherwise, the time of your pilgrimage here on the earth would come, at the end of it will come and find you in the wrong place and find you in the wrong footing,
as far as the scriptures are concerned. And if you are found to be on the wrong side of the historical evidence of the gospel of the New Testament church, then where are you going to end? You're going to end up on the left-hand side of God. And the left-hand side is for gods and the unbelievers, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Why should that be your path? Why should that be your portion, my friend? No, it should not be. Especially so, you are hearing this type of message coming to you as it is coming to you right now. So, my brethren, believe not every spirit. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Yeah? So is the word of God having free course in you? As the scripture, we are repeating some of these things for emphasis. Yeah, it says that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Be glorified. Is the word of God being glorified in you? Yeah, you may sing and feel tears coming through your, you know, falling through and coming in your eyes watering up. Be glorified. Oh, be glorified. Be glorified in the heavens. Well, be glorified upon the earth. Yes, yeah, be glorified. You're singing those things, but is he being glorified within your belief system? Well, forgive me for singing that. I can't sing properly, but I had to say something about these kind of songs which we just sing ignorantly, and we're not meaning what we are singing, because the scripture is saying, finally, brethren, pray for yourself that the word of God may have free course within your belief system, within your regurgitations, within what you believe about the gospel, within what you believe about who Jesus is, what he has done, and what he's accomplished, and what he's doing now, and what he'll do tomorrow. Pray for yourself so that you know your identity within that which Jesus has done. So when he says that that you may have that as Christ was raised up from the dead, even so you may raise up and you be raised and walk in newness of life. That newness of life, how far does the newness of life go? Yeah, when one is in Christ, is a new creature. Are you a new creature? You cannot call yourself a new creature if you are still following the Levitical temple order of paying the tithe. You are lying to yourself, my friend, and that is the truth. You are telling yourself a lie that you are a new creature, because you are not. You are still following after Moses. You are still following after the Old Testament order, because you're still paying the tithe. The tithe is of the Old Testament, and therefore you belong to the spirit of the Antichrist, because you don't believe that Jesus ended the law of Moses on that cross of Calvary. Read Ephesians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, around verse 13, 14, 15. Both those chapters, they clarify that Jesus put an end to the law and replaced it and took it out of the way. He took the law of Moses out of the way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here you are. You want to bring back tithing into the way. You want to bring back first fruits into the way. You want to bring the celebrating the convocation and the festivals of Israel back into the way. But the scripture is clear that he took the law of Moses out of the way. He took it out of the way. And here you are. You are proud. You even got receipts and bank statements which prove that you've been tithing. And it doesn't matter that you say that you know what, once I started tithing, things started going good for me. Look, we've said this over again, and we'll repeat it over again. The devil came to Jesus and said, bow down and worship me, and if you worship me, I'll give you these riches. So if you buy a new house and buy a new car and you've got a promotion at work because you've been tithing, what difference is it from bow down and I'll give you these things? So you are simply testifying about a reward which came not from the God of heaven, but from the one who wants you to get lost and to remain belonging to the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what you are testifying about. You are testifying that the devil said, bow down and worship me and I'll give you all these things. And that's what you are literally testifying, because following the Old Testament law literally is a doctrine of the devils, as the scriptures say. So I cannot help you, my friend, if you are like that. It is you who needs to pray for yourself and come to the understanding that the word of God is not having free course in you, because you are hindering it because of your ignorance, because you are not taking stock of what it is that you believe. and says, and the word of God be glorified even it is with you. Well, I don't know if you belong to a church with a reverend, with a bishop as the leader, or with a spiritual father as the head, or with any type of father as the head. You know, the word of God is not being glorified in you. Far from it. You are still in darkness, my friend. And then verse 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 says, but the Lord is faithful, verse 2 it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. Have you ever considered that you, my friend, are unreasonable, and you, my friend, you are a wicked person, and you, my friend, you don't have the faith? Especially so if you belong to this kind of organizations I've spoken about, where you are led by a bishop, where you've got a spiritual father, where you are still paying the tithe in the New Testament era, where you are still celebrating the holidays and the festivals of Israel when they were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ, when you are keeping the Sabbath, yeah, when you're doing all these things of the Old Testament, and you claim to be in the New Testament, you are needing to pray for yourself that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked person. And that person is your mindset, and that person is you, my friend. You are the wicked and unreasonable person, because you are the one who is hindering your own salvation, because you are ignorantly doing things which you shouldn't be doing, but because they look nice, they've been there a long time. Yeah. The flies have been there for a long time, but they never become honeybees. Yeah, the fact that something has been around for a long time doesn't make it correct. Yeah, flies and the other insects of that nature have been in existence for as long as the earth is old, but they never become honeybees. So how can you claim that because you've always been tithing, therefore it is correct? No, it's not. You need to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked mindset, which is what is you are entertaining right now. The one which is going to want you to fume and feel angry against me because I'm saying these things. That same unreasonableness and that same wickedness, you need to pray for yourself that you may be delivered from that concept, from that doctrine. Because if you are not doing that, my friend, you still belong to the doctrine, the spirit of the Antichrist, who does not believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Every spirit that believes not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And if you are doing these things which you have said before, the tithing, the festivals, the first fruits, having spiritual fathers, having tangible things to use for prayer, yeah, like prayer oils and salt and water and wristbands and all these paraphernalia, this kind of things. No, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, my friend, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, right? So you cannot use these physical things and claim that is the power of God is gonna flow through them. You are into witchcraft, my friend. That's what witchcraft is. So you need to be delivered from your mindset. You need to be delivered from yourself. And then verse 3 says, reasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. Yeah, you don't have faith. You've got traditions. Yeah, you don't have faith. Yeah, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible. How do you please him? By believing that he entered the law on that cross, and by believing that he rose again from the dead to bring a new kingdom in which he is king, which is free from the contaminations of the laws of Moses. That is what faith is. That is the faith which pleases God. But the scripture says that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, and you are one of those. You don't have the faith. You don't have the faith, my friend, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, and keep you from evil. If you are going to be saved, my friend, you need to do these things, and the Lord is faithful, and he'll keep you and deliver you from evil. That's my prayer for you, my friend. That's my prayer for you. I really do pray for you. We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.